At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
I'm going down, down in an earlier round, and sugar, we're going down swinging. I'll be your number one with a blue.
Yeah.
Loaded guy complains, covered in pulling.
Wow.
We're talking about Fallout Boy today, right?
Fallout Boy, more like Fallout, like crawling out through the Fallout. Yeah.
What?
What? That's a what song from the game.
Is it?
It is. It's a crawl out through the Fallout, baby, into my loving arms. A crawl out through the Fallout, something, something all around. It's actually got a fire soundtrack, as I'm sure you know, because you've played them, right?
No.
You didn't play any of the Fallouts?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so you know all the music that's in the show that's like old-timey and vibey?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's in the game, but there's a hell of a lot more in the game.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, this is one of those episodes where I watch the TV show for sure, but yeah. You are definitely a bit more of an expert than I. On the world that is Fallout.
So, expert is a stretch, but I do know a little bit about it. I mean, it goes very deep, but I know kind of the face value stuff of the game, and I played them. I'm replaying Fallout 4 right now, and it's great because they just remastered
it. The rest of the world.
They just remastered it for the next-gen consoles, which is awesome.
Of course they did. Good timing.
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to be broken down into many sections.
Oh, boy.
At some point, I'm going to rail against Jonah and Lisa Nolan. I'm going to blame them for the demise of Westworld.
Sure.
And blame this show. While it's definitely not to blame, it's part of it. and it's Mr. Bezos gave the Jonah and Lisa $100 billion. And the first show they made was trash, and the second show they made was Fallout, which was not trash. It was pretty good.
Well, the first show they made, the first season wasn't trash. The first season was very good.
Are we talking about the...
The Westworld, right?
No.
Oh, they didn't do all of the Westworlds. You know Westworld more than I.
Right. No, I'm talking about the peripheral.
Gotcha.
Okay, here's the timeline.
Okay.
It's after the third season of Westworld.
Understood. Don't know where we are.
Okay. Just know that after the third season of Westworld, all the people who liked Westworld were like, what is going on?
Yeah, this is not good.
That was worse. But I know that it's going to get better. What? Amazon gave Jonah and Lisa, the executive producers and main creative force behind Westworld, $100 gajillion? Oh, no. That's bad, because they said they're going to finish Westworld, but their checkbook, the every time they look at their bank account, they're like, you know, Mr. Bezos actually asked nicer. So
he asked nicer, and we wanted it more.
So they come in, they make the perif.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Oh, boy.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Everyone didn't like it. But then they're like, okay, but this one's going to be good, though, when we make Fallout. And as it turns out, it honestly, like, as it pains me to say, from a Westworld fan who blames them, like, by the way, this is like the second time in so many years that a creative team has seen greener pastures and then, like, made terrible or worse yet, creative decisions. This is the same thing. But on a slightly smaller scale, I suppose, when the Game of Thrones guys got Star Wars and they were like, who even cares about Thrones?
Yeah, right. And then they ended up backing out of it.
Well, no, no, no.
Oh, that's not they didn't happened. Back out. Yeah, I just know that they're no longer part of Star Wars.
Yeah, it got taken away from them.
Right.
Do you know why?
No, I don't.
Because the internet hated the last two seasons of Game of Thrones, which again, as I've said a gajillion times on this podcast, I think is a bit harsh. Also, Three Body Problem, which they made with some help, pretty good.
Yes, except pretty good.
It was pretty good. Contrary to popular belief of people who listen to this podcast and listen to me rail against it for 40 minutes straight.
I mean, me too. We both were on the same page there for a while.
Yeah. But anyway, Bethesda Game Studios producer Todd Howard directed this game. He's an executive producer on it. So this is now, it's a good example of this game and The Last of Us in the last few years of actually decent video game adaptations. These are both games that you love. If I had to guess, I would say you're closer to The Last of Us than you are to Fallout, but
you would be correct. But I have a hot take that might be hot take if you know me.
Okay, I think
this was an absolutely better on-screen adaptation than The Last of Us. As much as I loved The Last of Us, I think they did an excellent job bringing the existing story to screen. That we already know how the story pans out. They're just remaking the game in live action. Fallout took the entire world that we know, some events that we know, the visuals, the feel, the vibe of the entire game and made a completely new story and ran with it. And I think that they did a better job at capturing the essence of the game. I know The Last of Us was very, very close, but this just every time I rewatch scenes of it, I just want to go play the game so badly because it is a vibe and they nailed it.
Do you think Fallout's a better show?
I don't think it's a... I think it... Interesting. No. That's a hard one. I can't give you a definitive answer. I think they're very, very close in terms of being a good versus better show. But I think Fallout nailed the adaptation of it being from a video game better than The Last of Us. But The Last of Us story definitely has me more attached to the characters. Although Fallout's doing a great job at that too.
I think The Last of Us is a better show personally. Yeah. And again, this is now two video game franchises that I have no allegiance to and have never played. So, but I like the first season of The Last of Us more, and it's mainly, I think the writing on both of them is good. The world building on both of them is great.
Whew, yeah.
And the writing, directing, all of that's great. I think the main character cast is what puts me over the edge for Last of Us over Fallout. I think the two main characters of The Last of Us are just a stronger acting duo than... I mean, okay. Would you say that there are three main characters in Fallout, the show?
Yes.
Like Lucy, played by Ella Purnell.
Yep.
Maximus, played by Aaron Moten. Mm-hmm. And the ghoul, played by Walton Goggins.
Yeah, I would say that's fair. I would even stretch it and say there might even be a fourth with her brother.
Norm,
yeah.
Played by Moises Arraes.
And then the guy came back towards the end, Thaddeus. The character Thaddeus that came back.
Johnny Pemberton. Played by like a dude I've known on TikTok and Vine forever. And I was like, what's this guy doing here?
I know. Yes. So I think at its core, for sure, three main characters.
Here's my problem.
Okay.
I wish the character of Maximus was played by somebody else.
So when I watched this, and I watched the first four or five episodes first and then finished it the next day, I live chatted in our Discord channel, which you can follow at hboboys.com/hbo/hboboys.com, Patreon.
You did a terrible job of telling people how to do a better one.
It's the Patreon, patreon.com/hboboys.
Perfect. You nailed it.
We nailed it the second time around. Follow us there and you can get in on that too. But I talked about it when I was watching it that I didn't like him at the beginning. I thought he was very disingenuous. I don't think that he was not believable to me. He had this weird, like, sappy face on the whole time. It didn't make me believe that he would be doing the things that I'm seeing him do on screen, like stealing the power armor and beating up the raiders in the camp. Like, it just didn't mesh well for me. And the fact that he looks very similar, eerily similar to another man from the MCU who, you know, is no longer in the MCU, that being Jonathan Majors. He looks just like him, and I just was taken out by him playing Maximus. But as it went on further, I started to warm up to him a little bit more as he was coming out of the power armor, losing his I guess weird confidence that he got in the power armor. It just was, I don't know. It evolved over time, but I agree. I think it could have been someone different, someone better.
Yeah, I mean, I think, let's get this out of the way, and I've said this before.
Yeah.
Ella Purnell is a star, baby.
Yeah, she's great. She's really good.
She's going to be in everything forever.
Oh, yeah, okay. Especially with the success of this. Psh, she got the nerds,
also,
dude.
How good she is in Yellow Jackets.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's going to be in everything forever. And then Walton Goggins is, by the way, his name is Walton.
Walton.
I've been calling him Walter for too long.
I let it slip every once in a while, even though I do know in my brain it is Walton.
Mm. Well, that's brave of you.
Yeah.
You're brave.
I think it's just because the name Walton is not common. You just immediately want to go to Walter.
Worst name. Be Walter, right?
No, honestly, I like Walton.
I don't. The more you say it, I don't Walton. Like it. Change your name. Anyway, Ella Purnell is a gosh dang star. She's going to be in everything forever. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that she was English until I saw her talking on the TikTok.
I think I saw her in one interview when Yellow Jackets was first out, and I heard that she was in British, but I absolutely forgot about it until I saw it recently again.
Yeah, all I'm saying, Ella, is get away from Army of the Dead, okay? Zack Snyder cannot keep you with his little grubby thumbs.
Oh my God.
In his Zack Snyder verse.
She was in that.
She was.
I forgot.
Get out of there.
I forgot about that.
I'm not even saying Army of the Dead was bad. I think it was pretty good, especially it was pretty good. Get out of there, though.
There could are better be doing, things.
Get into an A24 flick.
Oh, my God.
For the love of gosh.
Yeah. Imagine her in like a thriller, a psychological thriller murder.
I will emerge in that.
Emerge in her.
I'm going to, because it would be the best.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. She's so good. Okay. Anyway, Fallout. So, yeah. Evil Corporation.
Vault-Tec.
Vault-Tec is specializes in making stuff for, like, what if a nuclear fallout happens?
Yeah. Bombs. What happens if bombs?
And then they're like, it's not happening fast or good enough. So they,
good
so
enough.
So they just do it.
They just drop them bombs.
And that's not nice.
That's not nice, but I mean, it pushed their agenda, so.
And as you begin, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Adam, the video game, you are a member of the Vault community. The
you
Vaults,
are.
As you learn in the first season of this show and in the video games, are basically experiments.
Like,
vault is a different petri dish.
Kind of, yes. Yeah. So you don't find that out right away, though, when you're playing the games. You learn that over time. But every vault is different. In every game, you're in a different vault starting off of. It's 101, it's 111, it's 76, it's in the show 33. And the one in Fallout 4, which is probably the one of the more popular games, you come from Vault 111, and that is everyone was cryogenically frozen, and we're just going to be awakened when the time came. That's kind of how you learn about it.
It's giving Vault 31, dude.
Yes, Vault 31, but and this is where they kind of took liberties from the show of what happened, but they spun it into a new story. Like, the whole Vault-Tec freezing its, you know, higher members of the board to be unfrozen in the future. Like, that is a very cool spin that was not in the games. And I like that.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So what are the high points for you of the show? When you look back on the first season, what are the moments you're going to remember the most?
Oh, so when they start the show, Lucy is talking about how she is a active member of the Vault community. She is present in all these different type of activities, and because that to me is the game, the Vault Tech kind of way, is everyone's happy generally, or they portray that, you know, get better with your special. You are special, and the special means like strength, perception, endurance, etc. And it's all of your points in the game, like your abilities and things like that. So I loved the beginning of the show where they set it up like, oh, everyone is happy in the vaults, and this is all that they know. They know nothing else. They're, you know, stupid to the rest of the world. So I loved that. All of the memorabilia, the whole Vault Tech, decorations, like the decor of Vault Tech. It's that hyper futuristic but nostalgic vintage look, which I think is very cool anyway. All that whole thing, the old radios, the old televisions that are powered by radiation technology. I mean, there's a whole deeper reason why they're powered like that. That's all game lore. And it's the Fallout goes very deep into how things are, why they are the way they are. So they really did nail that in the show. So, you know, prior to going out to the wasteland, it's the whole vibe of the vault just is exactly, it is the game. It is exactly what the game says.
By the way, second most watched title in the history of the Amazon streaming platform.
What's the first?
It's Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power.
Is it really Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, it's Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, it's, I mean, it's...
I thought that that didn't do very well.
No. It did.
Oh, okay.
Amazing.
Okay.
It's just that everyone, including your boy, had major issues with it.
Okay. So they watched it. They just didn't like it.
Let's not get into it. Why would you bring it up?
Anyway. Yeah, that's a different podcast altogether.
Ramin Djawadi, though, my dude, he made all the music for Game of Thrones. He makes all the music for House of the Dragon,
sure,
Westworld, and Fallout. Because he just follows Jonathan Nolan around now, and Lisa Joy. So I'm just psyched. Speaking of following Jonah and Lisa around, you get Michael Emerson playing Dr. Ziggy Wilzig, who is ahead for most of it, but he was in Person of Interest. Matt Berry, this is a whole other thing.
I loved that cameo.
I mean, listen, I've watched some of what you do in the shadows, the show. I've not watched all of it, but I will tell you, it's a lot of my For You page on the TikTok. It is just Matt Berry saying the most devious bastard on New York City. That is half of it.
He is the perfect Coswald. Oh my gosh. Or Codsworth, sorry. Codswald. Codsworth.
You dingus.
I'm so stupid.
You're so stupid. Also, Zach Cherry, he's in everything now. I know him best from being in Severance. Give me that show back.
It's coming.
I know.
They finished. They wrapped season two.
We can't start talking about this.
Yeah, I know. We'll I got to finish it. I'll finish it. We'll do a pod.
Oh, you haven't finished the first season?
No.
Have you started it, though?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, I'll talk to you offline about it, dude.
I hate what you just said, but I appreciate it nonetheless, I suppose. Oh, by the way, also, I know we're talking about Fallout, but we're not.
Yeah. That's our vibe.
Fallout Not even the best show. Fallout and Yellow Jackets. Not even the best show Ella Purnell is in.
She's in Arcane, isn't she?
Yeah, she's in Arcane.
Yeah.
God, I cannot wait for that show either to come back. That show's so good. Anyway, Fallout. Anyway.
Okay, now I have a question for you because you mentioned the music. So a lot of the music in the show is licensed music from the 50s, 40s and 50s, Nat King Cole, the Ink Spots, things like that. So what music cues did you hear that you recognized from that composer or the music director?
Oh, it's just the ambiance.
Okay.
Like, I mean, he's right. He's composing the score.
Yeah.
He's choosing the vibes.
I was just curious if there was something that stuck out that you heard while you were watching. You're like, yes.
That's vintage Zwadi. Okay. So, what's your least favorite part of the show?
I really did not like, as much as it was kind of humorous, I didn't like the scene with Michael Rapaport as Knight Titus. I thought that
because you just don't like Michael Rapaport.
No, I actually don't mind him. I just thought that it was like really over, like too over the top. Like they dropped the F-bomb like 20 times in that one scene, and it just felt like too gratuitous. I guess
you know what it felt like they were doing. It felt like they were trying to do Bill Burr in The Mandalorian, another
redhead. Oh my
God.
But dude, they just that's did it what bad. It was. Yes, that's absolutely what it was.
Because Bill Burr in The Mandalorian is so gosh dang
good. Way better.
By a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a good observation.
Thanks.
Yeah, that I wasn't a huge fan of. But no, a lot of this show really hit the mark most of the time. I loved the little side characters. The snake oil salesman is like one of my favorite, like low key characters in the show because he's wild. And I just really loved the vibe. And I watched it through again. I did watch the whole thing a second time because I wanted to see if there was anything that I missed. And just some of the little props they show are just, it goes right back to the game. I mean, it really did a great job.
By the way, John Daly as the snake oil salesman from Kroll Show. He's so good.
Yes. Yeah.
Chris Parnell also in this as Ben the Cyclops from Vault 4.
Very good.
Fred Armisen is in this as DJ Carl.
Cameo. Yeah.
But yeah, let's talk about a few other characters here real quick. Sure. Because Moldover, whatever.
Yep.
She was, I think, great in it. As well as, but okay, Kyle MacLachlan, you know, Twin Peaks, Dune.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, not a very good man in Fallout. He was a bad guy.
But that crescendo at the end of him getting that power suit armor and walking out to New Vegas. Woo! Oh, yeah.
But this show, I think, lives or dies on the ghoul. It's such a swing, right? This is a once famous Hollywood actor.
Sure.
Vault Tech ambassador, mutated by radiation, and now living as a gunslinger and bounty hunter with barely any skin and no nose. Like, this is going to take a pretty special performance to pull off, especially because this is not one off, right? This is a main character.
Yes, absolutely.
And Walton Goggins absolutely murders it. If he did 10% worse, it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, he was 100% of the time. I can't imagine anyone else playing this role. And although it was very similar to him in The Hateful Eight, was it The Hateful Eight? Yeah, it was him. Okay, I had second guessed myself.
Bounty Hunter,
second,
baby.
Yeah. So, he had the same like kind of swagger, he just absolutely killed it. I loved him in this role. I think this is probably one of his better performances. Yeah, just he's so good at the pre-war stuff and the post-war, like just crazy.
I felt
crazy
so bad for him, dude.
I know.
The pre-war stuff.
Yeah.
When he learns that his wife is like, he wants her chill.
His wife wants to kill the world. Yeah.
Like, get out of here with that, wife. What are you doing?
Yeah. And like, the, you know, his whole like relationship with his daughter, very close with his daughter. And like, we see the very first couple of scenes is him riding away from that mansion as the bombs are exploding with his daughter. Obviously, he survived and he keeps asking people, what happened to my family? What happened to my family? Where's his daughter? I want to know.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you know, the next time we're going to see Walton Goggins on screen,
where is that?
The newest season of The White Lotus.
Oh, he's in that?
Yeah, he's going to be in the new season of it. Is that sick?
That is sick. It takes place in like a Asian country, right?
I want to say Thailand. Yeah. But yeah, I'm not a hundo cool. on that. That's a
oh god.
That's a guess, you know.
I think he's going to do guessing. Extremely well in that as well. I mean, he does a lot does very well in everything he does.
Yeah, I really hope they have him play a very mean man. I don't know why. He's just good at it. Or the exact opposite, but nowhere in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, and how dare we forget, Ryan?
Okay.
Uncle Baby Billy's Bible Bunkers.
Uncle Baby Billy's Bible Bunkers.
That's another character that, I mean, I think it's between Baby Billy and the Ghoul. I mean, I think those are
for me,
of his best performances.
Not even close. Uncle Baby what? Billy.
Is it Uncle Baby Billy, really?
Oh my dude, it's every time Uncle Baby Billy from The Righteous Gemstones is on screen and he does his weird little lisp and he does his weird little dance. It is the best part of that show by a lot. And Uncle Baby Billy's Bible Bonkers.
Oh, I do love it. I do love it. Oh, he also was in Django Unchained, too, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm going to stay on Righteous for a moment.
Yeah.
I have to think about this, but I don't think there ever is a role / show that I can think of that was, like, good. And then a sort of side character role was introduced and it took the show from good to great. And it wasn't in the first season. It was like, by the way, this is here now. And you're like, oh
yeah. I mean, he was in the first season, but he really, they leaned in Well, he was in it, but he wasn't like a huge part of it. Right. Cause obviously you didn't remember it that much, but they leaned into his character real hard, and I love it. I love it so much.
He's Cecil in Invincible, which is also really good.
Yeah, dude, he's so good.
No, he's mean. I love him. Fun.
I love him.
Okay, so a lot of people watched this.
Yeah.
I bet it was a bunch of monies to make.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you think they go next? With this
okay,
show.
So obviously the end of the show, they're in front of, well, her dad is in front of New Vegas. This is now going into the lore of Fallout New Vegas, another one of the most popular games of the series. So there's a bunch that can happen here. but in the show scripts, as we're seeing it play out, the ghoul says to Lucy, "You want to go meet your maker," and that's because they're going to meet the person who is in charge of the heads of Vault-Tec, right? The puppet master now. So there's a lot that can happen between when season two starts and the ending of it, depending on where they go with the lore of the games.
Do you know who that is? Yeah. But from the games,
I have an idea, and it's from the first game, and I didn't even play the first game. It was in like 1995. It could be a character called the Master, who was essentially, like a human body, brain ripped apart and made into cybernetic mutations. It's weird. It's real weird. I don't know if they're going to stretch to that. Because so far, they really haven't taken actual characters from the game. they've just had kind of, you know, versions of suggested people in the game, like a vault dweller, a ghoul. There are different ghouls, there are different vault dwellers. So I don't know if they're going to stick really hard if they go with the master. But, I mean, that's deep. That's from the first game. The master actually died before this show is taking place in, like, the timeline. So I don't know. I truly don't know.
Okay, and before we wrap this up, do me a favor.
Yeah.
And because I, okay, spoilers for the game, I guess.
I mean, we've been spoiling everything.
No, but this is sort of a big one.
Oh, okay.
They're goddamn aliens, dude.
I'll be honest with you, dude.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember, because the most recent ones I've played are 3 and 4, and there I don't remember aliens being there.
There are aliens.
I mean, I guess that makes sense.
How?
I have to read back up on my Fallout lore. Like I said, I'm not a
Fallout lore.
Yeah, I'm not like a not
nerd.
Like a I mean I know
geek.
Them. Yeah, I mean
Dorcas,
I guess maybe
dude?
They were maybe they were in Fallout 4.
They were aliens. I saw it on the internet.
I just don't remember.
Well, if you want to remember more with us, you can join our Patreon, patreon.com/HBOBOYZ. It's $1 a month. You get to join a private Discord, and you get to get all this content that we make earlier and ad-free. Over the next few weeks, let's talk about it. What are we going to do? So what's happening now? Outer Range?
Yeah,
coming out
you got
pretty
it.
Soon.
Yeah.
We made it there. And then we've been knocking around a lot of ideas. We're probably going to do some movie drafts here or there. What was the other one I sent you through a text message?
Oh, I'm not sure. But while you look that up,
cool.
We also have Baby Reindeer. I know we both watched that.
Oh,
did you not? No, I thought you did watch it.
No, I did. I just...
I mean, it's... I hear you. I hear you. Maybe we do a split one with a half and half. Who knows? But we had some conversation about it in the Discord, and it was so well done, and there's a lot to unpack there. But that was one that we both watched for sure. So
fine. Whatever. I mean, sure.
We don't have to go too deep into it.
It was so taxing.
It was so upsetting.
It was upsetting. That's a good word for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we'll do some Baby Reindeer probably. At least we'll get deeper into it. We're going to definitely do the second season of Outer Range. If you haven't watched the first season of Outer Range, we recommend it. We liked it a lot. You can also go and listen to us talk about it on this podcast as you're watching the first season and preparing yourself for the May 16th premiere of the second season of Outer Range. It sounds as though like we're being paid to say this. Sadly, we are not. But
I would love that.
That would be really, really cool. But that's not what this is. So, but we will be doing that in the future, as well as a few movie drafts. We'll talk about movies. We'll talk about TV. We'll keep doing it. So,
and did you figure out what that one was from the text message?
No, we talked about just like sitting outside and smoking cigars and
Oh, that would be fun. I would love to do that.
Yeah, let's just smoke cigars without microphones, though.
We could do that. We do that anyway, but yeah. Speaking of that, I did go to the cigar bar today, and it was wonderful.
What the heck?
Yeah, I had today off, and I went and I got some lunch with my parents, and we had a little stogie and a little bit of paninis, and it was great.
I hate you.
It was really great. Hey, you were in New York, so.
I don't care. Our friendship is over. I'm walking here.
I'm walking here.
Shut up.
Here. I just, I really love the Fallout show. I know we stopped talking about it a few minutes ago, but I really did love it. I think they really did an excellent job. I'm just so excited for season 2. I really am.
Okay, well, me too.
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to kind of outshine me right now, but like...
Yeah, so we would like to thank our patrons, Sunshine, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Adam Donging Ryan, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, and Buffalo Pizzle. And we'd like to give an extra special shout out to Sunshine and Brent Ginn for being our $5 a month tier patrons. So if you do that as well, you'll also be able to hear your name at the end of the show. Wouldn't that be very cool?
Sing your favorite Fall Out Boy song, and so we can end the podcast.
I was walking along, minding my business, when out of an orange-colored sky, flash, bam, alakazam, wonderful you came by. I was humming a tune, drinking in sunshine, when out of that orange-colored view, flash, bam, alakazam, I gotta look at you. One look and I yell timber. Yeah, watch out for flying glass. Cause the ceiling fell in and the bottom fell out. I went into a spin and I started to shout, I've been hit. This is it. This is it. IT it. I was walking along, minding my business, when love came, he hit me in the eye. That's all I remember.
Oh no, that's a bummer. That was lit.
I tried. That's Orange Colored Sky by Nat King Cole. It's one of my favorite tracks on the song. On the song. On the game.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite tracks on the song, too.
It is a song. It's lovely.
Okay, we're not getting better than that. Let's just end the podcast.
Okay, bye.
Take control of your growing company's finances with Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card. With credit lines from $50,000 to $5 million, Bill Spend and Expense is here to help you thrive. Say goodbye to manual expense reports and juggling multiple cards, and say hello to saving time and eliminating wasteful spend. Try Bill Spend and Expense today at bill.com/promo500 and get $500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank. Member FDIC.